Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Let's connect the news of a few months ago to the news of today. You may remember back a few months ago, there was a story about rampant abuse and negligence within the state's juvenile justice system, New York State. Excessive force leading to broken bones and shattered teeth in four state facilities. And in general, a culture of abuse and one that emphasizes recrimination rather than rehabilitation for the state's youth. Well, if the first step to dealing with a crisis is acknowledging that you have a problem, today's news counts as that, and then some. WNYC has obtained a copy of a report by a state-appointed task force that finds severe problems throughout the system. The report is being presented to Governor Patterson alongside recommendations for significant overhauls. What's more, the Office of Child and Family Services recently sent a striking memo to the state's judges that asked that they not send kids into the juvenile justice system unless absolutely necessary to any of these facilities. Now, back when these first reports of abuse broke, Gladys Carrion, the commissioner of the Office of Child and Welfare Services, joined us on the program and pledged big changes. She joins us again now alongside the chair of this task force, Jeremy Travis, president of John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Commissioner Carrion and President Travis, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
And let's start right there with that letter to the judges. Mr. Travis, why did you ask that they not send kids into the system? Gladys Carrion, you can take that.
Actually, we didn't send a letter. The judge, that was a letter that was sent by the deputy chief judge for the state to the judges after a meeting that I had with the judges. The judges asked to meet with me to discuss the Department of Justice report. And in that conversation that I had with the judges, I once again reiterated to them that they should not be sending children, young people, into our facilities for social services needs. We have very limited capacity to do that, and that they should only be sending young people to us that truly pose a risk to public safety, that are dangerous. Should be a very hard decision and a very thoughtful decision by judges before they send a young person to me and deprive them of liberty.
Is it that judges are sending too many kids into the juvenile justice system for the wrong reasons, or is it that your agency isn't equipped to handle these minors right now because of how broken the system is?
I would submit that too many young people that come into my system don't belong there. As the report states, at least 53% of the young people that are sent into my facilities are low-level misdemeanors, are in there for low-level misdemeanors, nonviolent, who really, we think, can do much better in the community with supportive services for themselves and their families rather than sending them away from their families and communities.
And Mr. Travis, as part of the task force that you headed, you visited some of these juvenile detention facilities around the state. Describe what you expected to see and what you actually saw.
Well, I and members of the task force visited a number of facilities here in New York and in other states. And, in fact, the contrast between the New York reality and what we saw in some other states was particularly striking. And what we saw that was troubling was, as the commissioner indicated, first of all, a lot of what we call low-level young people in terms of their charge, what brought them there, in facilities where they didn't belong. They should have been kept closer to home. They should have been in touch with their families. They should have been in touch with positive social supports. So there were young people there who did not belong to be there. But we also found, particularly in the secure facilities, an atmosphere that reminded me of adult correctional prisons. And we have to remember the average age of the people that we were seeing in custody here was 15 years old. And they were being in regimented facilities with barbed wire, double barbed wire walls outside, in isolation in their rooms, not allowed to speak during lunch. And as the Department of Justice report indicated, subjected too often to physical abuse resulting in broken bones and concussions and broken teeth.
Can we linger on that for a minute? Because it's one thing if you have overcrowded facilities. It's one thing if you have warehousing. I mean, these are all bad enough. But physical abuse, broken bones. I mean, we're talking about criminal assault here, aren't we?
We are indeed. And the Department of Justice report is a shocking document for any citizens of New York to read that this is how our youngest, most vulnerable citizens basically are being treated, and that there's not sufficient oversight, there's not sufficient public attention being paid, and that this abuse is allowed to continue.
Are officials going to be held accountable in terms of, well, are guards or whoever's doing this going to be arrested?
Well, I'll defer to the commissioner on the criminal sanctions, but the system needs to have much more oversight and accountability and discipline. And on the other side, the employees who work in these facilities need to be better trained. We only now require a high school degree to work in these facilities. They need to be provided with an understanding of youth development. So we've allowed this system to operate out of sight and therefore out of mind, and terrible things are happening. And on some level, we shouldn't be surprised.
Commissioner?
Well, let me state that the employees that have been found to violate the rights of young people, to abuse young people, have certainly been arrested and have been brought up on charges. I'd like to say that they are clearly in the minority. There are some very good people that work in the system. Having said that, I will tell you that the system that has been set up in New York, a system that I've inherited, makes it very difficult to discipline employees, even when they commit criminal offenses. They have very strong protections. And while I have personally zero tolerance for violence against children and young people, certainly there is a protocol and a grievance process that I must go through before I can take action against an employee, even when they commit a crime.
So this is a union issue. How do you convince workers to rethink the model when their main concern, understandably, they would say, is safety for themselves from out-of-control youths in detention facilities?
I think that we have seen, as Chairman Travis has indicated, other systems that work with equally troubled young people, and they seem to be able to do it and do it well with much better outcomes with little risk to their own safety. I think we need to continue to train our staff. We need to continue to ensure that we hire quality staff. We need to revisit the qualifications for people working in our system to make sure that they have an interest in working with young people, that they have the skill set, and that we continue to provide supports. We need to, as we have been, implementing a different approach, moving away from a punitive model to more of a rehabilitative and youth development model. But this will take some time. But I think that there are, I think we are down that road, and we have made in some facilities great differences already.
We're talking about the new report detailing horrors in the New York State juvenile detention system with Gladys Carrion, the commissioner of New York State's Office of Children and Family Services, and Jeremy Travis, chair of the Task Force on Transforming Juvenile Justice, appointed by Governor Patterson and president of John Jay College of Criminal Justice at CUNY. Mr. Travis, where does the withholding of or failure to treat mental illness come in? Why is that a significant part of the result?
Well, our task force found what is known to all practitioners in this field, which is that young people who enter the system have very high rates of substance abuse history, a mental illness history, very low rates of educational attainment. So this is a group of kids who have very severe needs. So the question that faces the state is how best to address those needs. And we start with the assumption of our task force recommendation, which is that only in the cases where a young person poses a risk to public safety should they even be placed in one of these facilities. But once they're there, we need to establish a culture and an environment that addresses some of those needs of mental illness. And we found very low levels of services in terms of psychological and psychiatric services. And the The other point that we focused on is that we also need to remember that everyone we put in a facility such as this returns home on average less than a year after they first enter. So the transition, the reentry back to their communities is also very important, and particularly important in terms of maintaining continuity of mental health services and drug treatment. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done here so that when these young people return home, they are less a risk to the public, and they have better support in terms of their reintegration.
And so you come up with a diverse list of recommendations, psychological counseling, drug treatment, family services. You add all this to the basic mission of keeping violent kids off the streets, obviously, and from hurting each other. But it's impossible to think of this outside the context of the state's financial crisis right now. There's talk that the state may shut down some facilities just to help close the budget gap. How viable are these recommendations, Commissioner, given the current state finances?
I think that the recommendations are very viable. I think some of them we really can do with some reinvestment. There are some savings that we can attain through closing some of those underutilized facilities. And we're not closing them just for the sake of closing them. We don't need them. We have excess capacities. Local counties, including New York City, have done a very good job of diverting young people from our system, even before we started this discussion on transformation. So even if we weren't undergoing a transformation and really focusing on who truly needs to be in the system, we would still have excess beds, and we could really use that money more wisely and invest it in providing the supports both in the community and really improving the services in our facilities.
And, Mr. Travis, I gather one of the main points of the report is that the system is extremely inefficient. We spend roughly $210,000 per youth per year, and many of them end up right back in a detention center within a year or two of being released. So is it a matter of making it cheaper to take care of these kids, or is it a matter of reducing the number of the kids in the system in the first place?
Well, it certainly is a matter of reducing the number of kids in the system in the first place. There has been, as the commissioner indicated, a downward trend in the population, and that's something that we applaud, and we recommend ways to accelerate that. This should be the system of last resort, only when there's a determination that the young person poses a risk to public safety. But we also are not getting much of a return on this investment. As you said, we've spent over $200,000 a year per child to keep them in a system that's not helping them. So that amount of money can be reinvested at the local level to provide for many more services for many more young people. So our priorities are just backwards, and we need to think quite differently about this whole system.
And how politically different do you think this is going to be? Because people get freaked out when we talk about releasing violent youth. That's always a very scary notion to a community, violent youth. And there is a different tack taken by State Senator Catherine Young, for example, a Republican from Western New York, who said recently, and I guess they have their own task force in the Senate, she said, "I'm very concerned with the direction Commissioner Carrion has taken our juvenile justice system. The people of this state have the right to learn the truth about why extremely violent and dangerous youths are being released into the community."
Let me jump in here.
And Hal just finished the quote, and how youth facilities are being run.
We are not talking at all about releasing violent youth. We are, in fact, saying that young people who pose a risk to public safety should be sent to these facilities. But we're saying that a lot of people who don't pose that risk to public safety are also being detained here, and their liberty is deprived, and it's not helping them. So we will always, as a state, need secure facilities and less than secure facilities for a segment of this population. But the reach of the system is far too broad. So I think the public safety concern is at the foremost of our thinking, and we believe that we can actually have better outcomes, and other states like Missouri have shown that they can decrease and cut in half the recidivism rate by focusing more on community services.
Commissioner, 20 seconds, the last word.
Yes, well, you know, we got to remember that the vast majority of young people come from New York City, Westchester, and Long Island. They're not coming from upstate, the county that Senator Young is from, at all. And we're not talking about releasing violent young people into the streets. These young people, and I also like to remind everyone that these young people, vast majority of them, are children of color. And these are children from New York City. They're truly not posing any threat to upstate, that's for sure.
What do you think she mouths off about it then?
Because it's an issue of jobs in her local community.
That's where the detention center, one of the detention
centers
is located.
That's where the detention centers are located in upstate New York, and they're really sources of employment. And I understand that. But quite frankly, that can't be the reason to keep these facilities open.
The prison industrial complex?
It's our version of it.
Gladys Carrion, Commissioner of the New York State Office of Children and Family Services. Jeremy Travis, Chair of the Task Force on Transforming Juvenile Justice, reporting now to Governor Patterson, and President of the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll talk about some of the good movies coming out right now in a minute.